Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 3 September 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we are in the two greatest chapters in all of the word of God that teaches the doctrine of grace giving. Nowhere is it defined greater than 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. And we are just partway through chapter 8. There's a lot here and a lot fantastic principles defining exactly what grace giving is. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul described the Macedonian believers' grace giving. And they had totally nailed it because these were winner believers. These were spiritually mature believers. They had the greatest humility and respect for the authority of the Apostle Paul and the authority of God and the authority of the Word of God. They had maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart. And even though they were pretty poor and destitute themselves, they gave phenomenally all over the Roman Empire. And they supported the Apostle Paul. And they were in poverty. And they supported the Apostle Paul and his ministry all over the Roman Empire. Then you got the Corinthian believers, and they're wealthy. They're loaded. But they never had a clue as to what grace giving was. And that's why Paul is spending two chapters now defining the doctrine of grace giving. So in 2 Corinthians 8, 7 to 15, Paul is presenting the Corinthian believers' grace-giving. And they're starting to get the hank of it, but they haven't arrived yet. And then in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 6, the transitional verse between the two. So let's take a look at the corrected translation of 2 Corinthians 8, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, with the result that we requested Titus, pastor teacher Titus, that just as he had begun on a previous occasion, what had he begun on a previous occasion? To take an offering for the destitute believers in Jerusalem. He started, but it didn't come to completion. So also, he would complete with reference to you this grace also. That is, this gracious work of grace giving. Verse 7. Now then, just as you are periseloing, superabounding in every respect or way, and then Paul defines how there's five ways that these Corinthian believers are moving out. They went through rebound, biblical repentance. They turned back to God and the Word of God. They knew Paul was right and they were wrong. And now they're starting to move out spiritually. And Paul names five areas where they're moving out. Number one was in faith. Number two, in the Word of God. Number three, in knowledge, grace, perspicacity. Number four, in making every effort to live the spiritual life. And five, in the virtue love we taught you. That's the five areas where they're starting to get the hank of it and moving out. Now, he says, now see that you periseloe, see that you superabound in this grace also. That is grace giving. Now, they haven't arrived yet there. That's why Paul's teaching 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. So when he says, see that you superabound in this grace also, grace giving. Well, we stopped there, but we didn't summarize it. So you get to start right out. One. One. Giving is the essence of grace. Giving is the essence of grace. See that you superabound in this grace also. Grace giving. Giving is the essence of grace. Two. Grace giving expresses maximum grace orientation and maximum virtue love, especially impersonal love for all. Grace giving expresses maximum grace orientation and virtue love, especially impersonal love for all. Three, grace giving is an extension of living the spiritual life. It's an extension of living the spiritual life. Four, grace giving is the result of fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, the mandate to grow up spiritually in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're going to see when we get down to verse 9, the greatest illustration of free will grace giving is our Lord Jesus Christ. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you see His grace to you, to every one of you, His grace to you, when you were spiritually dead and totally depraved, yet Jesus Christ, from His free will, gave Himself for you. You were spiritually dead, totally depraved. You're no damn good. And Jesus Christ, from his free will, graciously went to a cross to pay the penalty for all of your sins, so that through simple faith in him, you could have eternal life. When you learn these things, there's the greatest illustration of what grace giving is all. Free will, grace giving. The Lord Jesus Christ. Free will, grace giving. When we were at our worst. Free will, grace giving. And that's coming up in verse 9, but we're not quite there yet. So 5, grace giving is the result of spiritual skill number 1, the filling of the Spirit, and spiritual skill number 2, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. It's the result of consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. It's the result of spiritual skill number 1, the filling of the Spirit. And spiritual skill number 2, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. 6, grace giving is the result of maximum epinosis doctrine in your heart. Not gnosis doctrine in your heart. Gnosis doctrine is in your mind. That's the third stage of grace perspicacity. But the fourth stage is the key. The target for the Word of God is not your left lobe, the nous, or the mind. That's comprehension. That's receptive comprehension. The first three stages of grace perspicacity, receptive comprehension. But retention only comes when you have epinosis doctrine, completed knowledge, full knowledge in your heart. E-P-I-G-N long O-S-I-S. Epinosis doctrine. Stage 4 of grace perspicacity. But the Word of God will never get there if you don't believe it. Now, my job isn't here to make you believe anything. I couldn't make any of you believe anything anyway. You have a free will. You're free to be here. You're free not to be here. And you can see a lot of people chose from their free will not to be here. You're free to be here, not to be here. You're free to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior or not to. You're free to believe the teaching of the Word of God or reject it. You're free to do that. I'm not here to make anyone do anything. You're free to believe or reject, positive or negative. But if you don't believe the Word of God, there's no spiritual momentum, no spiritual growth, and you are not ever going to honor or glorify God. The only way you can grow up spiritually is by believing the Word of God. The target for the Word of God is the heart, the cardia. That's the target of the Word of God. Thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The target is not in your Bible, not in your notebook. The target is in your heart. The only way it gets to your heart is positive volition, faith. Simple faith in the Word of God. 6. So grace giving is the result of maximum epinosis doctrine in your heart. 7. Grace giving is the result of virtue love. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Because your personal love for God the Father, your occupation with Jesus Christ motivates you. It motivates you to have impersonal love for all, and that is the key in grace giving. Impersonal love for all. So, corrected translation again of verse 7. Now then, just as you are pericelling, superabounding in every respect or way, and then Paul named five ways that they're really moving out spiritually, in faith, number one, number two, in the Word of God, number three, and knowledge, grace, perspicacity, number four, making every effort to live the spiritual life, number five, and in the virtue love we taught to you. Now, see that you pericelo, see that you superabound in this grace also, grace giving. All right, now he moves on, verse 8. Verse 8, grace giving must never be forced or coerced. It must be free will. And the great illustration of the Macedonian believers, that's going to be one of the illustrations of free will, grace giving. And the second illustration is our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace giving must never be forced or coerced. So he starts out, and we always start the King James, I speak not by commandment. This is the present active indicative of lego, not the game Legos. This is the present active indicative of lego with the objective negative u plus the prepositional phrase kata plus the accusative singular of epitage. Now, lego. There are lots of different words for communication. This is the most general of all the words of communication in the Koine Greek. So, point one, lego is one of the main words for the communication of the Word of God. It is one of the most general words for the communication of the Word of God. Two, generally, the word simply means to say or to speak, generally. However, Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, tells us, point three, that lego also has a very special sense, and it at times means to order, to command, to assert, to maintain, or to declare. And that's how it's used in our verse, 2 Corinthians 8:8, because we have used with the verb lego, we have the objective negative ook, which slams the door. So here it does mean to declare in our verse, but point four, the objective negative ooh slams the door. Slams the door. So this says, I absolutely am not declaring this. Kat epitagein. I absolutely am not declaring this. What is he not declaring? Kat epitagein. Point five, this is the preposition kata plus the accusative. Kata plus the accusative. K-A-T-A. And Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 408, tells us that kata plus the accusative refers to the nature of something, kind of something, the peculiarity of something, or the characteristics of a thing. Nature, kind, peculiarity, the characteristics of a thing. And this is how it's used in our verse. Point six, epitage is the Greek word for command. Epitage, E-P-I-T-A-G, long E, epitage. And it means a command or an order, a mandate. This first clause of verse 8 should be correctly translated, I absolutely am not declaring this as a command. I absolutely am not declaring this as a command. So this is very, very important. The Apostle Paul, not putting any pressure on any of the believers in Corinth. In fact, the Apostle Paul never even took one penny from any of them. He wouldn't take anything from them. They didn't understand grace giving. So he never even took, not one cent would he take from the believers in Corinth. He was supported, and they had all kinds of money. But Paul was not going to, he was not going to go around, you know, get the Charlie Flood with his gun and go down the give, brother. Give. No, Paul didn't do that. He didn't take one thing from the wealthy Corinthians. And yet here were the poor Macedonians. And they pleaded with Paul. We want to support you. We want to send this grace giving to you. We want to help the believers in Jerusalem. They pleaded with Paul that they could do that. And they were poor. And here the Corinthians were loaded with money, and Paul wouldn't take one cent from them. So he says here, I absolutely am not declaring this as a command. So, one, giving must never be coerced. Giving must never be coerced or forced. Two, there should never be any pressure to give. Never, never, never. There should never be any pressure to give. Three, Paul is going to teach this principle again when we get to chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, he teaches this principle again. He says, let each one give just as he has been motivated in his heart to give. That is motivation from God the Holy Spirit and metabolized doctrine in the heart. Let each one give just as he has been motivated in his heart to give, not grudgingly, nor under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. He'll repeat this, teach this principle again. Point four. Grace-giving must be an expression of the royal priesthood of the church age believer. You see, we live in the neatest dispensation of all time, church age, from Pentecost to the rapture. This is the calling out of the royal family of God. This dispensation is totally unique in so many ways. We have a double portion of righteousness. Not only God imputing his righteousness to us, but through the baptism of the Spirit, we're entered into union with Jesus Christ and share his righteousness. So we have a double portion of God's righteousness. We have a double portion of eternal life. God the Father gives us the gift of eternal life. And then again, through the baptism of the Spirit, we're entered into union with Christ and share the eternal life of Jesus Christ. So never before in human history, but only in the church age, Every one of you is royal family of God. You have a double portion of the righteousness of God, a double portion of eternal life. And this is the only dispensation where every believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. Only dispensation, never occurred before in human history. The moment of salvation, God the Holy Spirit indwells your body as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, which is the divine power to live a supernatural life called the spiritual life. Again, that spiritual life was never lived before. First time by Jesus Christ. And then he passed it on to us, the royal family of God in the church age. So we have the universal indwelling of the Spirit as the basis for the divine power to live the supernatural spiritual life. And then we have, first time ever, every believer is a priest. We are all a priest. Every one of you, you're a royal priest. The age of Israel is a specialized priesthood. You had to be in the tribe of Levi. And the sacrifices were animal sacrifices. But today, in the church age, we are a royal priesthood. Every one of us, a royal priest. And we give sacrifices too. But they're spiritual sacrifices from our royal priesthood. So, point four, grace giving must be an expression of the royal priesthood of the church age believer. It is a spiritual sacrifice that the royal family of God offers to God as a part of your royal priesthood. And that's Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. Through him, then, let us, royal family of God, continually offer up a sacrifice, a spiritual sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name, his person, his essence, who and what he is, his attributes. And do not neglect giving the spiritual sacrifice of divine good production and the spiritual sacrifice of grace giving, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased with such sacrifices. God is pleased with these spiritual sacrifices of grace giving. So, grace giving must be an expression of the royal priesthood of the church age believer. It's a spiritual sacrifice that the royal family of God, the royal priest, offers to God. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. 5. You are never commanded to give. You are never commanded to give. In fact, when I first came here, I realized that the congregation, they didn't have a clue either as to what grace giving was. And I told them when they came in and sat down, I said, now look, for most of you in here, don't give a cent when they come by and bring the bag by. Because then if anybody going to take some, it'd be Gary Brown. He takes the whole bag. And I told them, don't give 1 cent until you grow up spiritually, until you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And I told them over and over every Sunday, most of you, hang on to your billfold and hang on to your purse and don't you dare give one thing. You need to grow up spiritually. You need to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You need to keep on consistently and faithfully assembling here and learning the Word of God and believing the Word of God. And when you do that, then you'll know, because you'll be motivated by the filling of the Spirit, you'll be motivated by maximum doctrine in your soul, and then you're ready to give in grace. But no, I told them over and over, don't you give a thing. Hang on to your billfold. You don't have a clue. And we had people here, you know, they wanted to tithe. They even came up to here, I'd like to tithe. They said, why? Are you not paying enough taxes now? Tithing was taxation. That wasn't giving. That was taxation. And the whole nation Israel had to tithe. Whether believers and unbelievers, everybody had to tithe. That was taxation. Taxation was 10%. But we got all these stupid fundies that don't have a clue about what the Bible says, and they want to tithe. I wouldn't take one penny from any of them. I said, no, hang on to your money. Giving is grace, not tithing, not taxation, not 10% before taxes or after taxes. Tithing has nothing to do with grace giving, absolutely nothing. And so I would tell them, you're not ready to give until you understand grace. You need to grow up spiritually. You need to keep assembling here if you want to, and learn and believe the Word of God. That's what you need to do. But just hang on to your money, because it won't mean anything to God anyway. You're not honoring God at all by giving tithing. You're not honoring God. And yet I've heard all these fundies, they tithe and then God blessed them with a new car. You know, bull pucky. So you are never commanded to give. And I have never, ever. In fact, I've told people in this church for years not to give on Sunday. And I saw we had a lot of baby believers, or they had very little spiritual growth. They didn't have a clue as to what grace giving was. And I told them, you're not here to give. You're here to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what you're here for. And for years I told them, no, you don't give one penny. You need to grow up spiritually. That's what you need to do. So you're never commanded to give. Now 6, some things are commanded. Some things are commanded. You're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. You're commanded to walk, to live your life by the agency of the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. You're commanded to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. You're commanded to assemble together with other believers, Hebrews 10:25. You are commanded to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, 1 John 3:23. And in 1 John 3:23, there are two mandates in that. There's a phase one mandate and a phase two mandate. The phase one mandate is, and this is his mandate, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's a mandate to the whole world for salvation, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Then the phase two mandate is, and to love one another. To love one another just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, commanded us. So yes, there's a lot of mandates for us as royal family of God. But you are never commanded to give. 7, grace giving is a matter of the free will of the believer, that is motivated by the filling of the Spirit and metabolized doctrine in his heart. Epinosis doctrine in his heart. Grace giving is a matter of the free will of the believer, that is motivated by the filling of the Spirit and epinosis doctrine in his heart. So the corrected translation again, Paul is very dogmatic here. I absolutely am not declaring this as a command. Now we have two illustrations of free will grace giving. Illustration number one of free will grace giving, the Macedonian believers. And then illustration number two of free will grace giving is our Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, illustration number one of free will grace giving, the Macedonian believers. But by the occasion of the earnestness of others, others here being the Macedonian believers. This is the conjunction Allah plus the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive singular of spude with the definite article plus the genitive plural of heteros. Allah, well, not Allah, but Allah. A-L-L-A, Allah. And that's the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, correctly translated but, and it sets up a contrast between one, coercion, with free will. Sets up a contrast between coercion with free will. And when you come to giving, it's never coercion, it's always free will. Secondly, sets up a contrast between never being forced, giving the never being forced, with illustrations of free will giving by the Macedonians. That's verse 8. With illustrations of free will giving by the Macedonians. They not only gave by free will, they pleaded with the Apostle Paul. They wanted to give in grace to him and to his team and to the destitute in Jerusalem. They pleaded with him, free will. And then we will have in verse 9 the free will giving of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have dia plus the genitive. D-I-A, dia plus the genitive. And dia plus the genitive means by means of or through. And then we have spude. Spude, S-P-O-U-D, long E, spude. Now spude means diligence. It means eagerness. It means earnestness. And the Macedonian believers, they were eager to give in grace. They had an earnestness to give in grace freely. And then the genitive plural of heteros, H-E-T-E-R-O-S, heteros. And heteros is others, the earnestness of others, the eagerness of others. Who, what is this? Who are the others? Glad you asked. One, the free will grace giving of the Macedonian believers. The free will grace giving of the Macedonian believers. That's what we have in verse 8. And that's going to be followed up by the free will giving of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross in Operation Grace. And that's verse 9. So the corrected translation, I absolutely am not declaring this as a command, but through the eagerness and earnestness of others, that is specifically the Macedonian believers, as an illustration of grace giving. I absolutely am not declaring this as a command, but through the eagerness and earnestness of others, specifically the Macedonian believers, as an illustration of free will grace giving. And then he goes on and says, and to prove the sincerity of your love. And this is the conjunction chi plus the present active participle of dokimazo, plus the accusative singular of nasios with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of agape with the definite article, and the genitive singular of the possessive pronoun humeteros. The conjunction chi is the connective chi, he translated and. And then we have this neat verb, dokimazo. Dokimazo. D-O-K-I-M-A-Z, long O. Dokimazo. A couple of things on this verb. First of all, dokimazo means to put to the test. To put to the test or to examine. To put to the test or to examine. Secondly, point two, dokimazo looks at the result of the testing. It looks at the result of the testing. In other words, then it means to test for approval. To test for approval, to accept as proved, or to approve. To test for approval, to accept as proved, to approve. Three, the testing in our verse is for approval of the gnesios humeteros agape. There you go. It's for the approval of the gnesios humeteros agape. Gnesios G-N long E-S-I-O-S. Gnesios means genuineness. Genuineness. And then humeteros agape. That's H-U-M-E-T-E-R-O-S, humeteros. And there's our old friend, agape, A-G-A-P, long E. Humeteros agape. Humeteros agape of your virtue love. The genuineness of your virtue love. And the spotlight here is specifically on your impersonal love for all in grace giving. So, corrected translation. I absolutely am not declaring this as a command, but through the eagerness and earnestness of others, specifically the Macedonian believers, as an illustration of free will grace giving, and to test for approval the genuineness of your virtue love. Specifically, your impersonal love for all in grace giving. All right. One, grace giving is an expression of virtue love. Grace giving is an expression of virtue love, agape. Now we saw in verse 7, the fifth thing that they were super abounding in was, number five, was in the virtue love we taught to you. That was, they're starting to get the hang of that. They're starting to move out and get to the point of having virtue love brought to completion in their heart. But now Paul says, and to test for approval the genuineness of your virtue love. So grace giving is an expression of virtue love. Two, grace giving tests the reality and genuineness of your personal love for God the Father and your personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So point two, grace giving tests the reality and genuineness of your personal love for God the Father and your personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, grace giving also tests the reality and genuineness of your impersonal love for all. Grace giving also tests the reality and genuineness of your impersonal love for all. Point four, grace giving is love giving. Grace giving is love giving. It's virtue love giving. I love that. That's what we have here. Grace giving is love giving. Virtue love giving. Five. Paul is testing the Corinthian believers for the purpose that he might approve them with regards to grace giving. Paul is testing the Corinthian believers for the purpose that he might approve them with regards to grace giving. Dokimazo. Paul is testing the Corinthian believers for the purpose that he might, dokimazo, approve them with regard to grace giving. Six, it isn't the amount of the giving. Although the Corinthians had lots of loot. But it isn't the amount of the giving. It's the mental attitude of the giving from epinosis doctrine in your heart. It isn't the amount of the giving. It's the mental attitude of the giving from maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Seven, giving is designed by God to test the reality of your love for the Lord. Giving is designed by God to test the reality of your love for the Lord. So how do you express your love for God? Here's one of the expressions, because this is a spiritual sacrifice that pleases God. This is a spiritual sacrifice you offer from your royal priesthood that pleases God. That's one of the ways you show your love for God. You show your love for God by you're a royal priest. And you have, and from your royal priesthood, you offer spiritual sacrifices, including grace giving. And so one of the ways that you show your love for God is the spiritual sacrifice of grace giving to God, which that pleases God. That pleases God. And you express your love for God by fulfilling the mandate to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you have got to that point, that means God and His Word are number one in your life. The number one priority in your life is the spiritual priority of loving God and loving the Word of God. That's how you express, another way you express your love for God. And you express your love for God by fulfilling the mandate to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some is, Hebrews 10:25. You express your love for God by fulfilling the mandate to keep on being filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. You express your love for God by fulfilling the mandate to walk and live your life by the Spirit so that you do not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature, Galatians 5:16. You express your love for God by fulfilling the mandate to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. You express your love for God by assembling with other believers in a local church to worship the Lord. You worship the Lord through singing and prayer and grace giving and through fellowshipping with God through His Word. So grace giving is a test of the genuineness of your virtue love. Grace giving is a test of the genuineness of your virtue love. That's verse 8. I absolutely am not declaring this as a command, but through the eagerness and earnestness of others, specifically the Macedonians, as an illustration of grace giving, and to test for approval the genuineness of your virtue love in grace giving. Now that brings us to verse 9, illustration number 2 for free will grace giving. And illustration number 2 of free will grace giving is the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I hope you do. This is the post-positive conjunction gar plus the present active indicative of gnosko plus the accusative singular of charis with the definite article plus the genitive singular of kurios with the definite article plus the genitive singular of Jesus Christos plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. We start out with the post-positive conjunction gar. G-A-R, gar. And gar is the illative use of gar, and the illative introduces a reason. You translate it for, it introduces the precedence. The precedence for free will grace giving. What is that precedence? The grace giving of Christ on the cross for the whole world. The free will grace giving of Christ on the cross for the whole world. And then we have our friend gnosko. G-I-N long O-S-K long O. Gnosko. Couple of things on gnosko. One, Kenosko means to come to know. To come to know. Now that's very important. Oida is the verb to know. That's the frozen form. But this is gnosko, means to come to know, too. You have to come to know grace before you will ever give in grace. You have to come to know grace before you will ever give in grace. Three, through consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, you will come to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in His giving of Himself on the cross to make salvation possible for all mankind, for the whole world. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's why on the cross, unlimited atonement, the sins of the whole world were poured out on Christ and judged in Him. And Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross, willingly received the sins of the whole world, willingly receive the judgment for those sins. And that is the greatest illustration of free will grace giving in the whole universe. Nothing greater than this. So through consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine, you will come to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in His giving of Himself on the cross to make salvation possible for all mankind. Four, you have gnoskod. You have come to know charis. You have come to know charis. There's the fantastic koine word for grace. C-H-A-R-I-S. Charis. Grace. You have gnoskod. You've come to know grace. Grace what? To kuriou hemon Jesu Christou. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have come to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Five, grace giving means you have to understand God's grace. His plan is grace. His policy is grace. Salvation is by grace. Spirituality is by grace. Spiritual maturity is by grace. Grace, 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 grace. The moment you believe in Christ, God imputes His righteousness to you, establishes a grace pipeline. Justice on one end, imputed righteousness on the other, and down that pipeline comes grace, 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 grace. 40 salvation, grace blessings, logistical grace, blessing and support to keep you alive so you make good decisions. Keep you alive so you, the light goes on and say, hey, I need to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. I need to start obeying these mandates that God has given me in His Word. I need to assemble in a Bible teaching church like Upland Bible Church consistently, faithfully, and grow up in grace, because grace giving depends entirely on you understanding grace. Corrected translation, for you have come to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For you have come to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But this verse Paul's just getting warmed up. It gets better and better and better. And we're going to pick it up on the better, better, and better next week. So there you go. I'll give you the corrected translation ahead of time. For you have come to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, the eternal Son of God, yet for your sakes he became poor. He went to the cross. For the purpose that you, by means of his extreme poverty, the cross, being imputed with the sins of the whole world and judged for those sins, that you might become rich. That's free will, grace giving. The greatest illustration of free will, grace giving. And I hope that you all catch it. So we got two great chapters on the doctrine of grace giving, chapter 8 and chapter 9. And it just gets more powerful and greater and more powerful and greater and more powerful and greater. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I'm enjoying teaching it. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.